Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Samach Gimel. We're holding 8-9 lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Kol Chaisamei Brachoi Sheba Mikdash. What did we learn in the Mikdash? What did we learn in the Mishnah, that is? Go back to Nun David Amid Aleph. You'll see that the Mishnah tells us in Shalayim, in the Beit HaMikdash, they had a very, very long davening. In particular, look back at Nun David Amid Aleph, halfway down the Amud, about 6-7 lines, 10 lines before the end of the Mishnah, Kol Chaisamei Brachoi Sheba Mikdash. Whenever they ended a brach in the Mikdash, Hayoimim they used to say, Ad Hu Oilam, Mishkilku Amina Mamro, Vi Amro Ein Oilam Ele Echad Hiskinu Shiyoimim Mino Oilam Vi Ad Oilam. Now, what does that mean? Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi is halfway down the Amid. Kol Chaisamei Brachoi Sheba Mikdash Hayoimim Ad Hu Oilam. V'Mesechtas Tanis Amrinim Ein Oinen Amen Bamigdash. In the Bismigdash, they didn't use the word Amen. Rather, Hamavarach Oimer Besayf Kol Bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elike Yisrael Mino Oilam Viado Oilam. And here it says Baruch Choinen Hadoas. I see that it's a Samach. Hopefully, takes that out. Anyway, I'm the Shash. In Choinen Hadoas, Lachain Bekula. In other words, you go through Yishmon Esrei. The first bracha after Kelah Kodesh is Ato Choinen. We finish off Baruch Ato Hashem Choinen Hadoas. No, Baruch Ato Hashem Malkei Yisrael Mino Oilam Vado Oilam Choinen Hadoas. Lachain Kulam. Same thing. Hashemini V'Tavsecha. Instead of Haroitz Baruch Ato Hashem Haroitz B'Shuva, Baruch Ato Hashem Malkei Yisrael Mino Oilam Vado Oilam Haroitz B'Shuva, and so on and so forth. Chachlonu Reina B'Yanyenu Refaina. Everyone they ended off not Baruch Ato Hashem, Baruch Baruch Ato Hashem Malkei Yisrael Mino Oilam Vado Oilam, and then finish off the ending of the pasuk. And when the Oilam answered, they didn't say Amen. Each one answered, V'oinen Oimim Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusa V'oilam Bar. So as you can see, the Tfilas Hashatz, the Hoichash Menasrei, took much, much longer than our Hoichash Menasrei, because every Baruch ended with this long ending, and every time they didn't say Amen, they said Baruch Shem Kevoid. Fine.
These were the Kohanim who were davening in the Beis Hamikdash?
Anybody was davening. I assume that they were not...
Any
shots. I assume that they didn't discriminate against anybody. Anybody that came in to daven, they davened. Anyway, so the Mishnah says that that's how they did it. And initially, they had a much shorter version. What's much shorter? Baruch Ato Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ad Hu Oilam. And then, Mishakilku Haminim, and said that there's only one Oilam. Then they said not Adu Oilam, but they said Minu Oilam Viadu Oilam, to go and signify that there were two Oilamis, Oilam Azeh and Oilam Haba. Okay, so with this introduction back to the Gemara, says the Gemara, Kol Kachlam, why did they have to have such a lengthy bracha for each one of the brachas that they made in the Beis Hamikdash? Lefish Ein Oinen Amen Bamikdash, because you don't say Amen, but you say Baruch Shem Kavod. That doesn't really answer the question. But as we'll see in the Psukim momentarily, the two go hand in hand, and because they had a lengthy bracha, not just Baruch Ato Hashem, Choy Nadoas, but Baruch Ato Hashem, Lekei Yisrael, Min O'ilam Vada O'ilam, then for that, it's not enough to say Amen, you have to go and say commensurate with the length of the bracha, they also said a lengthy response. And the response, therefore, was Baruch Shem Kevoy Malchusay. Other Meforshim add that the Baruch Ato Hashem that we're talking about was the Shem Havaya B'Miluay, the way it is written, not the way we normally read it. As you know, we don't say Yudkei Vavkei, we usually say the Shem Adnus, even though it says Yudkei Vavkei in the Siddurim, but we don't read it. By the Lahavda, by the Goyim, the witnesses, they read it out with a J, as you all know. But we don't say that, Chulim. But we say the Shem Adnus. In the Beis Hamikdash, many of the Mefarshim say that this bracha was said with the Yudkei Vavkei, and that's why they said, Baruch Shem Kevoy Machus Eliyahu Levoy, just like we have in the Yom Kippur Shemoneh Esrei, where we also say the same thing, that the Kahan, Emdam, Dararam, Dararam, Boam, when they heard the Shem Agadu Banoira, then they said, Baruch Shem Kevoy Machus Eliyahu Levoy. So, getting back to Agmara, Minayin Shein Oinam Ambam Lintush, how do you know Takam Bismidish? They had a lengthy bracha, and they didn't answer Amen, but Baruch Shem, Shinem, it's in the Pasi. Kum, Baruch Hashem Alekechem, Menu Oilam Vi Adhu Oilam. Oh, just like the bracha that we're saying in the Mishnah. The Oimar, and then people would respond, Vi Baruch Hashem Kvoidecha, Vi Baruch Hashem Kvoidecha, means that they added, they responded, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusei. Vi Baruch Hashem Kvoidecha is Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusei. And now it continues on, Umaroimim Al Kobracha Usihila. What does this? So we've answered our question from these two pesukim we see in the Mikdash. Kumu, get up in the base. Mikdash Baruch Hu, go make that lengthy brach mit oilam ad oilam. And people answered Baruch Hashem Kvart. Then why do we bring the Muraima called Brocha Sila? Because Yachol Kolab Brocha is Kulan Tehilahem Tila Achas. I might have thought, since we're talking about such a long response each time Baruch Hashem Kvart, I have a good idea. Just wait until the Baal Tefillah has finished the entire Shemoneh Esrei, and then everybody should scream out like an Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem Kvart, and finish one time instead of having to repeat it 18 or 19 times in the Shemoneh Esrei. Tam Loima, Umraim Al Kol Bracha Sila, Al Kol Bracha Sila, or Kol Bracha Ubracha, Tan Loi Tehila. And every individual Bracha give an individual Baruch Hashem, and therefore they have to repeat Baruch Hashem again and again and again throughout the Shemoneh Esrei. Continuing on. Now, if we go back again to the last part of the Mishnah, tells us about the minhag that the boyaz of Ein Yafiyat. He was the one that instituted the following minhag. What was that minhag? Go back to five lines before the end of the Mishnah. The skinushay odom shoyl eshloim chaveda b'shem. When a person greets someone else, he's allowed to go and say the shem Hashem. Shenemar b'nei boyaz bom b'dichlecha b'yem lekoitzim Hashem imachem. He didn't say Hashem. He said adnas imachem. So you're allowed to go and greet someone and say Ruloi, and they responded in kind. This is back on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Nun Dalet 54a. The Yoimer Hashem Imcha Gibor Hachayil. Now, what is this referring to? This is not referring to Boaz. This is referring to the Malach that spoke to Gideon, and he said to him, Hashem Imcha Gibor Hachayil. Oh, so you see that I have another raya that you're allowed to greet someone with a Shem Hashem. V'yoymer, I have another pasuk. Al tovus ki zikna imcha. What is this telling us? The Rashi says zikna imcha doesn't mean that your mother is old, but it means that you look to the zakenim of the ummah. You look at the senior citizens, the elders of the nation, and see what their mesoira is, see what their minhag is, and that's what they do as well. That they say the Shem Hashem, so we can do the same thing. And finally, it says, "Eis las Hashem eferu teresecha." Even though there seems to be an appearance of saying Hashem's name in vain, this pasuk is telling us, "No, it's not Hashem's name in vain. You can go and be mechazik someone and go and tell him shalom with Hashem's name." And Rashi says, "You're mekayim with that bakish shalom v'rafeyu that you go and by being mechazik and giving shalom with Hashem's name, you are now preaching and practicing a Hava Shalom, one Jew to the other." Okay, so you see that the Mishnah brought four separate psukim. One by Boaz, another one the Malach to Gideon, third one to Al Tovos, go and follow the Minhogim of the Mesoida of the Ziknei Ummah, and finally Eis Las Rashi. The Gemara wants to know, what do we need all these psukim for? Zok the Gemara back on Samach Gimel Omer Aleph, my vi oimet. But he's saying, Boaz midat the nafshei ka'omer. Maybe Boaz on his own decided, you know what? I think this is a great thing to do. Everybody that I see, I'm going to say the Shem Atlas. But maybe we don't follow Boaz. Maybe this was a Das Yochid, and this is on his own initiative, but nothing to do with me. Maybe we don't follow that custom. Toshema, Hashem Imcha Gibor Achayil. Hashem sent down a malach to speak to Gideon, and he used the Shem Hashem, so that's, you know, Hashem. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara assumes that if Hashem sent a malach to go and say that, then that must be the rule, that must be the law. Maybe you're going to tell me it's a malach. So what's wrong with a malach? Is a great malach. So Rashi says that because it's a malach, he sent with shlichas of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It wasn't that he was greeting him and saying, "Hi, Gideon, Hashem Imcha," but rather Hashem told him this shlichas that you should be aware that in your next battle, Hashem Imcha, Hashem is going to be together with you in this battle, and you'll be victorious. So this is not a greeting.
That was the message.
That's the message. That's not the greeting. I see Uri got the message, Baruch Hashem, that we're not talking about greeting someone. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Hashem is with you. But rather, the message, he only said him good morning. He didn't say Hashem's name. But rather, now we get down to business. I want you to know, Hashem has told me the following message, that he's together with you. So therefore, you have no raya that got me greetings. Tashima, that's why I have the third pasuk. I'll tell this kizikne imcha to go and tell you, follow the minug of the zikne hu'uma. And if you look at the next Rashi, in the middle of the Omer, Toshema, Al Tovos Kizik Neimcha, Al Tovos Es Boaz Lamer Midati Os. We're going back to Boaz now. Forget about the Malach, because maybe that was Taka a Shlichus, and not a greeting. But go back to Bayit. Don't think that he midata us. He just did this on his own. El lemoid mezikni Yisrael. Look at how the other zikainim conduct themselves. Ki yesh le al mishi yismach shenema eislas l'shem. And that's the next passage. Oyim eislas l'shem eveir teisacha. And so therefore, from all of these psukim together, you see the clear message that the greeting, you can permissibly say Hashem's name without any concerns, without any constraints. That is the halacha according to our Mishnah. You can go and greet. If I'm not mistaken, that's the minhag that we say Shalom Aleichem, because the Medrash says that the word Shalom is also one of the names of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why you see frequently when people write the name Shalom on a piece of paper, an imitation, wherever, they made a strechel after the vav instead of putting it out totally with a mem, because of the fact that if it's a Shem Hashem, you don't want to throw it in the garbage. And in fact, it also says in the mikvah, when you're greeting someone, you should not say Shalom Aleichem, because Shalom is the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a pseudonym. It's not the main name. It's one of the names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore don't say it in the mikvah. If you have to go and say good morning, say I get you, but don't say Shalom.
And what's the proof from Eish Lasos Lashem Hefer Torah Secha? How does that prove that what Boaz is doing is a valid custom?
To the extent that you still have any type of hesitation. I don't want to say Hashem's name in vain. So because of the inyan of Bakish Sholem V'Red Feyu, you can be made for the Torah to ignore your hesitation based on the fact that you're concerned about saying Hashem's name in vain. Hashem wants you to go and be made for that potential appearance of impropriety of saying Hashem's name in vain. Hashem says, I want you to mechazik Eden and spread shalom by saying Hashem's name.
But that's usually used as an excuse to do something extraordinary for a moment. And this is now being used to do something.
How do you know? Are you allowed to write a Gemara today? Are you allowed to print a Gemara today?
Yes.
Yes, why? It's not for a moment. Ever since Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it's been permitted to go and write time Mishnayis. Ever since Rabbeinu Ravashi, it's permitted to write Gemara. Eslas Hashem. So this is for all generations.
Otherwise,
article can go out of business. They wouldn't be able to print Gemara. So you'd have to go and just send out viral voicemails, audios. They wouldn't be able to go and print
it. Would it be better if we started saying, everybody, Yivrech Hashem?
If you see that the Zikna Yisrael do that, yes. In other words, if you see,
Boaz did that.
I even remember. I'm sorry.
Boaz did that. You remember?
Yes, I know Boaz did that. I didn't even see any of the contemporary great Zikna Yisrael.
That'd be even better. Why reduce it to Shalom Aleichem, which is a very beautiful thing?
Yeah. And the question is an excellent question. I suggest you speak to your competent local Orthodox rabbi.
So Eislas Oslashem is not a momentary interruption of the law. It means it can be a diversion and continue indefinitely.
If that's the will of Hashem. Okay. You and I don't know the will of Hashem. We have to ask physically Yisrael, what's the will of Hashem? And then we can go and perpetuate it, not just on a momentary basis, like the case of Eliyahu Navi with the Masa.
With the Har Carmel.
Exactly.
Because I thought that's like extraordinary.
I know that's what you had in mind. If you wanted to.
Aleichem in Kiddush Achot, we did last night, Kiddush Levana.
Yes.
So is that also tied in as there is the Shem Hashem?
Again, that's the second question to ask.
Same rabbi.
If he knows the answer to first. Anyway, we have back on Nun Dalet Omer Aleph, before you get to the wide lines, the last Rashi. Rashi said, V'oim Eislas Hashem Eferet Tersecha. Sometimes you have to go and be mevatel. We're looking on Nun Dalet Aleph, the last Rashi before the wide lines. Sometimes you have mevatel divrei Torah to go and las Hashem. Avzeh hamiskaven lishod lishloim chaveroi. If you go and greet someone with Hashem's name, zehu ritzoy lishomok. This is what Hashem wants you to do. Shenemar bakish shalom v'rad fail. And therefore mutal hafet Torah v'las is dover hanira aser. Is the appearance that there is something wrong that you're saying Hashem's name? It really isn't. And therefore this eishlaf Hashem, if you will, is a much easier one than the case of printing gemaras and or of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, because those were real Isurim. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, the Shchutei Chutz, going and writing down דברים שבכסב יש להם רפא, דברים שבפא יש להם רכסב, לכתוב מכסב. So that's a real listener. If Eish Lash Hashem, if Eretz Yisrael, here Rashi says it's not even a dove that's really awesome, it's near it. When a person says Hashem, everybody's nervous about saying Hashem. Be careful. No, Bakish Lom Verpeh is fine. Any hesitation that you have, Hashem says, don't worry about it. Eish Lash Hashem, move on, and you can go and greet everyone with the Shem Hashem. Anyway, since we spoke about the Eish Lash Hashem, the Gemara now goes and darshins at Omer Rava Haikro. We had this, if you remember, a few days ago, something very similar. We darshin this pasuk Mereisha L'Seifei, Midrash Miseifei L'Reisha Midrash. You can go and darshin it right to left and also left to right. It's in a sense almost like a palindrome. Now what? Mereisha L'Seifei Midrash, Eisalas Hashem, my tam Mishum Heferu Torisach. Now what is this referring to, this case of the Eisalas Hashem, Heferu Torisach? Here, when we had this same expression a few days ago, both Reisha the Seif and Seif the Reisha, it worked the same way back and forth. Here, however, it's giving you different messages. What's the different message? Eis Las Hashem, my tam, Mishum Heferu Torisach. Now, what was that message? That's the message that we learned by the case of Har Karma. If you look at Rashi, Reisha the Seif, Eis Las Hashem, Mishum Heferu, Itim Heim Lashem, Lasis Mishpat Per Onios, so this is your standard case of a person chas v'shalom who is being oivrei ritzoinai, a person who is violating Hashem's will. Eisas das Hashem, you have to go and be moicha, or you have to make sure that this person is punished. Why? Because heferu teresecha, because he's being made for the Torah. So go and bring up the banner, the flag of Hashem, and say what you've done is wrong, and this person should be punished.
Mocha means
macho. Have you ever heard of macho? Macho means
a protest,
admonishment, admonition. Yeah, exactly. We say for the Reishai Midrash back in the Gemara, Heferu Teresecha, my time, Mishum Eis Las Hashem. Sometimes you have to be made for the Torah. In other words, sometimes Eis Las Hashem, you have to go and take up the flag and banner of Hashem because other people are being made for the Torah. And therefore you have to be mocha, you have to admonish them. On the other hand, sometimes Heferu Teresecha, you have to be made for the Torah because it's Eis Las Hashem. Well, what is that? That's Elio Bar Karma, like the next Rashi says. Heferu Teresecha, Oisir Ritzoynich, Yigoyin Elio Bar Karma, Sheker Rabam, B'shasir Rabam, Mishum Eis Las Hashem. So sometimes you have to start off, I know I'm being made for the Torah. I know that I'm violating the rules of the Torah. But I'm doing it because Eis Las Hashem, because I want to help out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is in the among the arurim that you have in Parshas Kiseitza Kisavai, when it talks about the klolus, it says orer asher loyasa. Yes, exactly. Orer asher, but it doesn't say asher hefer. Oh, remember the chumash. We have it. Thank you very much. We're almost there. Thank you very much, Reb Simcha, for helping out. Okay, so it says at the end, O Rasha Leyokim is Divrei HaTorah HaZois La'asois Oisam the Omar Kola Amen. This pasuk seems to be a little bit redundant. O Rasha Leyokim is Divrei HaTorah HaZois, he's not going to fulfill the Torah, La'asois Oisam to do it, the Omar Kola Amen. Why am I mentioning this? In the time of the Ksav Sofer, that's when the main Muhammad against the initial reform was being waged. And many of the reformers said, I want you to know, we mean, it's a Pasuk in Parshas Kisavos, right before the Torah. And so the reformers were saying, the reason why we're reforming the Torah is not because we're bad guys. We are good guys. We see the new generation that is coming up. If we're going to go and tell them that they're Tayag Mitzvahs, and that every single Shabbos is Lametes Malachas, and there's so many Chumras, and that there's so many Hidurim, and there's so many Gzeiras, and there's so many... They're going to say, well, what do I need the Torah for? I can't do it. So let's go and sell them Torah light. Well, lighten up. You only have to do one listen, and they lightened up the Torah. You don't have to wear tefillin every day. Just wearing a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You don't have to go and go to the The reason why I say that is because, now we're getting off on a tangent, during the year that I was at in the Avelis after my mother left Shulam, we had to go and travel to Europe for a bar mitzvah. So I was going together with my father's Zichron Livracha, and together with my brother's Zichron Livracha, and together with a couple of kids. Anyway, we had seven people all together for a minion. We needed a minion. So I had to down for a moment. So I called up Nachman Elbaum, Zichron Levracha, Nachman arranged that we're going to stop over in Amsterdam at 7 o'clock in the morning. He's going to have three people from the local community come to the airport, and we're going to have a minion there. It won't be a problem. Fine, Baruch Hashem, it was great, we have a minion. Anyway, Ma'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the flight was delayed by 3 hours, and therefore we're going to arrive in Amsterdam at 10 o'clock, and we won't have enough time for a minion over there, so we had to go and call them in the middle of the night. The police say, shouldn't come. Okay, anyway. So, but we need a minion now. So I said, so my kids, there are 200 people here on this flight. There got to be at least three other Yidden go up and down the aisles. So they went up and down the aisles and asked everybody in a friendly way, are you Jewish? Are you Jewish? So one person said, I'm not Jewish, but some of my best friends are Jews. Okay. Then he asked, are you Jewish? He said, I'm not Jewish, but I worship to a Jewish God. Okay, anyway, we had all different types of interesting responses, but ultimately we found three other Eden, and they joined us in the minyan. We made a minyan. They're fine. Okay, after the minyan was over, my boys, who had this zeal and zest for Torah and for tefillin, they said the three Eden didn't wear tefillin. We should go and put tefillin on them. So I said, it's a wonderful idea. Go over and ask them if they're interested. So the first person they asked was Nebuchadnezzar's auntie, and he said, no, he's not interested. Okay, he's not interested. You can't force him. But the next person, the other two did, and one of the two people said to me, I'm happy to put the tefillin on, but can you explain to me, is anything special today? I mean, I know you put on tefillin on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but, you know, why are you putting it on now Tuesday in the middle of the year? Why would you be putting on tefillin? Nebuch. Okay, so we got off the subject, and now we have to go back to this. So the reformers were trying to go and make Torah light, and they said the reason why we're doing this is because we want to be Mekayim the Torah. Because without that, Eslas Hashem, they quoted this way, Eslas Hashem, we have to be made for the Torah, cut it down from 613 mitzvahs to 3 mitzvahs, do Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or whatever, make Shabbos on Sunday, eat a little kosher, but that's it, to make it, eat the lox and bagels on Sunday morning, and you'll be Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo. So then the Ksav Seifa said, Orash Layokim Mithibri HaTorah Azois, Fasholtin, cursed should be the person who's not making the Torah, even he's using the expression of Lasis Oisam. The reason why I'm doing it is because I'm Min Lashim Shemayim. I want Klal Yisrael to do the Torah. Very, very funny. Who are you to go and make this Orash Layokim? You that are trying to make these Lasis Oisam, or this person is cursed if he's Layokim Mithibri HaTorah Azois, even if he's coming with a Taina of Lasis Oisam. What's the point? The point is, this is something that can be abused and misused terribly. The only time that you can go and follow that if you're talking about Eliyahu Navi or the Zikne Yisrael, the Zikne Yuma. Otherwise, anybody else who wants to make changes based on Eis Hashem, you know, we need that Eis Hashem. Avada, you can't follow that person. Normally, 99.9% they are all
Apikarsim. Don't use Lashem Shemayim as an excuse for poor behavior.
Excellent, right. Excellent, beautiful. Chodesh Asur Min HaTorah. And with that, we'll continue on. Yes.
Repeat just again the two ways of some pasuk that I.
Or Rashi LeYokim is Divrei HaTorah Zois La Zois Oisam. Or Fasholten, cursed should be the person Asher LeYokim. He is not fulfilling the Torah, and he's using the explanation, the excuse. The justification is Lasis Oisam because I want people to do the Torah. Not, I'm not a bad guy. I'm a wonderful guy. Okay. I'm just afraid the next generation is not going to hold anything. So therefore, let them at least hold the bagels and lox, and then everything will be great.
And Eishel Sozer Shem, how does that place again? It's according to more
of what you do. Rishon Sefer, Sefer L'Rishon.
Sefer L'Rishon. Sefer L'Rishon. You have the permission, the authority to be made for the Torah. When? Eishel Hashem. If you're doing L'Shem Shemayim, to go and uphold the Holy Torah. That you can own. No, so that's the Sefer L'Reisha. And that's the Eliyahu HaNavi.
Right.
The Reisha L'Sefer was Eis Las Hashem. You have to be mocha, you have to go and admonish, you have to protest those that are Hefer Teresecha, those that are being made for the Torah.
I see.
If you see someone being made for the Torah, you have to go and say, it's wrong. You're not allowed to do that. Etc. It's all Rashi. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Tanya Hila Zokanaimer, Bishas HaMachnisin Pazer. B'shas ha-mefazrim kanes. What is this referring to? B'shas ha-machnisim, says Rashi, is that if you have G'dol Yisrael chachmi hador, that are marbit Torah to talmidim, in such a case, the other way, b'shas ha-machnisim, that the chachmi hador are not being marbit Torah. They are all nervous. If I get together with more than three people, who knows, chalila is going to be the coronavirus. No more shiurim for the next 6 months. Stay away. B'shas machnisim, when people are being machnis, that they are going and keeping themselves closeted, they're not coming out and teaching Torah l'Rabim Pazer, then it's a mitzvah on any Talmud Chacham to go out and teach and be Marbet Torah and share the Heilige Torah with the Yiddish Kinder. However, if it's a different door, that Baruch Hashem, the Chachmei Ador are going out and they are being Marbet Torah, then Kaneis, then you have the authority to go and be Noiheg, the Midas for Anova, to be an Onov, and keep your Torah to yourself. After all, Baruch Hashem, there are so many Chachomim that are giving droshes and Shiurim and everything, so you can go and be an Onov and learn by yourself. What's up to you?
Yeah.
Everybody will say that there will be nobody to teach.
That's only Mishas and you are. In other words, you saw the schedule, you looked up a website, there are already 850 rabbis of great Talmid Chum that are going to give a Shabbos, a Guru Drushim, Yad Hashem, the Shabbos before Pesach. So, okay, if you already have 850, then you can stay at home and you can, you should listen to their Drushim, but you don't have to give your own Drushim, Guru Hashem, to Shem Duginik. I don't know what the Chazanish is.
He was a
Nishtun,
and later on he came out.
Okay, Kanzai. So if you look at the Rashi, about 10 lines before the right, at the end of the right margin, you have Rashi on both sides. See, Baruch Hashem, we have the Schia Rashi on both sides. On the right hand side, 10 lines before that, B'shas HaMachnisim, She'ein Chachmi Ador Marbitzim Terlo Tamidim. All of a sudden they're all speechless and they're not giving drashes. Pazer, Ata, then you should go out, Lishnois Latamidim, you should go and teach. The other half, B'shas HaMafazim, Shagdoinim Shabdoim Marpitzim Torah, Baruch Hashem, Sidu Azifa Rosh Hashivas, Kameis, Ata, Vleitito Surora Aleim. Don't go and try to go and make yourself holy and big and all of that. The Avzulichov Shemaimi. This is also Kvoit Shemaim, Lechois Ramidus Anova, to go and Fizach Mitznius, Luxides Lashem, Eferu Teresach. So that's why we bring this Gemara, because it's also related depending on what the needs are of the Dar. If the needs are to go and teach, then teach. If the needs are to go and keep quiet, then keep quiet. And similarly, the Imre Isa Dor Shatayra Chaviva Olav, if you live in a door like today, the Baruch Hashem, there's a tremendous Chaviva, there's a tremendous yearning, a tremendous craving, a tzimoin, a thirst for Torah Pazer, then yes, go and teach. Shinema, Yesh Mefaz V'Noyis Avoid. The Imre Isa Dor Shatayra Torah Chaviva Olav. If you see a generation that people are only being Mefaz in the Torah, Kaneis, then stick to yourself. Why? If you make a big CMHS at MetLife and only five people show up because only five people are interested, it's a Mizayim. And then don't make the scene in the first place. So you have to weigh what's going on outside in terms of your own personal involvement. Dorish Barkapart. Zulis Kibbutz Kinei Mina. Vos Meintos. So Rashi says on the second line of the left hand margin, Zulis is a Voloshim Zol. If you see that you can get schoira cheaply, then kaboitz, don't assemble it and gather it, ukenei minah, and buy it. In other words, it's giving you very good advice. If you see that Baruch Hashem, that there are sales and there are metzias, buy now before the sales are over. Try to go and get it at a discount, and else is fine. But moreover, says Bar Kapara, v'asar les gvar tamon havigvar. If you come to a place where there is no gvar, like it says in the Mishnah in Uvis, the mokim she'ein ish, ishtadal yis ish, the word gever is just like ish, but asar, in a place the less gevar, you don't have a gever, you don't have an ish, tamon, in that place have a gevar, and then you should be an ish, ishtadal liyois ish. Rashi says this in meticulous is referring to in terms of Tamid Chacham. If you come, if you happen to be a person that knows Psak Halacha, and you're coming to a place where unfortunately they don't have any poiskim, then you should go out, have a gevar, you should be the poisik. But Omar Abai, Ishmael, from this I see, the basar, the asar, the iskevar, tamon, if you come to a place, the Baruch Hashem, there already is a poisik, like Tamid Chacham, then you should keep to yourself, and then you shouldn't go and paskim, Baruch Hashem, shouldn't do paskim. So Omar Pshita, Abai is just reversing what we said in the positive, that if there is already a posek, then, basar the less, if there is no posek, then you'll be the posek, said Abai, but if you already have one, then you can stay at home. Pshita, isn't that the mirror image? The both of them happen to be on the same madrega. Besides, both happen to be on the same madrega. Both the person that is the posek and the other person who has the capability to be the posek, they're both on the same madrega. So kedai to chamina that he should therefore also share his wisdom and his knowledge with the masses. Kamash malon, if you already have one posek, then you could fizach banivus. You don't have to go out and show off. Dorish bar kapar, ezui parshik tani shel kol fi atayda tuluyim ba. Where do we find that one pasuk that you can say the ganze Torah is totally in that pasuk? B'chol derecha d'eyu v'hu yishash yiyasher or choisecha. You should know Kodesh Baruch Hu in all ways. B'chol derecha d'eyu, you should know Hashem. V'hu yishash yiyasher. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that your path, that your way is going to be yosher, is going to be straight and not krum. Now, what is the chiddush of this shtickle? Amrav afilu nedvar aveira. This is coming to tell you even dvar aveira. What's meant even a dvar aveira? What does that mean? So Rashi explained what's meant with the dvar aveira on the left hand margin. B'chol derechecha afilu lavir aveira da'eyu ten leiv im tzorech mitzvahu ki gan aliyoh b'har haKarmel avoir aleha. B'chol derechecha da'eyu means not only should you know Hashem when you're doing mitzvahs, but you should know Hashem even when you're doing an aveira l'shem shamayim, like Eliyahu b'har haKarmel. That's b'chol derechecha da'eyu. You're not allowed to do an aveira. You're not allowed to do shchut echut. Oh, this pasuk tells you if you're on the madriga of Eliyahu b'har haKarmel, then b'chol derechecha know what Hakadosh Baruch Hu's real kavana, what his real intentions, his desires are, and da'eyu know it. And then we ask Kodesh Baruch Hu make sure that you go b'derech Hayosha and do what you're supposed to do. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
How's the difference from Esas Hashem?
It's not. It's really a parallel pasuk.
It's interesting that Gosh Tzionim has a whole different set of examples. They mention Lot and his daughters of Lot and Yael and Sisera, mm-hmm. which are more. Arias, right, doesn't mention Esther. Right. But in those cases, it was because Esther was unclear. It was hidden.
Okay.
It was hidden.
So that adds another couple of
examples. Right. But as he mentions, Benos Lot, Masa de Yael, the Sisera, Arias or Chasav.
Beautiful. Dorish Bar Kapara, the Oyum Yilman Ona es Benoi, Yilamid Onam es Benoi Umnes. We had a number of members here of Bar Kapara, so we bring this member as well. A person should go and teach his son Umnes Nekir Akala. An easy Umnes and a light Umnes, meaning one that is easy in terms of that it's not heavy, back-breaking type of work, so they should have time to be able to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs, etc. And also Nekir, that it's an honest type of thing, not something that involves potential dishonesty. May I give an example? Amar Rav Chisda, machta Tam Yusuf. A person could go into the business of sewing and weaving, where the sewing Tam Yusuf, says Rashi, means to make the same rows, which are one after the other. Today it's much easier to have sewing machines, so you just go and put the garment in the sewing machine and it makes a very straight line of stitches. In the good old days they didn't have sewing machines, but nevertheless, that's the key of a kala, that you learn how to go make even stitches, one row on top of the other, and that's considered to be a relatively easy and honest type of profession. Tanya. Rabbi Yomel, it's good to have good friends, but don't overdo it and don't bring too many friends into your home simultaneously. I'm afraid. Ish reyim lehisreya. Rashi says reyim means lehisreitzeitz. When you get a lot of friends together, they can start getting into different differences of opinion, and slowly but surely you can have a big, big machloikas in your home. So try to keep the numbers down. Don't be called a moisiv gareya sometimes. Tanya, Rabbi Yoima, another piece of advice, Ayimana Odom, Apotropis Betech Beis. A person shouldn't appoint a guardian or trustee over his entire house. Shemoli Lemina Petifar as Yoisa Apotropis Betech Beis, Laboli Oisidaber. If he wouldn't have given him total, absolute authority over all of his affairs, then it wouldn't have come to Chas V'Shalom the potential affair with the Ashes Potiphar. See, as Avadi, you should take people that help you and Yoyatsim and counsel and all that.
If you can have your home, you should be the boss.
Yeah, you should be the boss, or you be the Baba boss, the husband of the boss, right? Exactly. Tanya, Rabbi Yoim Rabbi says another piece of advice. Shekola Roy, Rashi brings this in Chumash, a very famous chazal. Shekola Roy, Kuli Yazar, Atzimena Yayin. In Parshas Nosoi, which is the longest parsha in the Torah, you have Nozer and Soita back to back. What's the common denominator of the two? Someone who has witnessed a Soita that unfortunately has gone Kekula, she's gone bad, and she's now being defaced and mocked and denigrated in the Beis Hamikdash. So when he sees something like that, such a spectacle, he should now go and turn all the way to the other extreme. Yazir Atzman Ayayin, he should go and make himself a nozer for a period of time that will go be Mechazikim and his Yerushamayim and his Torah and his Avodah, etc. Before the Parsha Soita in the Torah, it has the Parsha of Trumas and Maishas. Why? What happens if a person is stingy and he doesn't want to give away 2% to the kohen and 10% to the levy? Guess what's going to happen? He's going to have to go to the kohen eventually. How? Meaning, he's supposed to go and give the kodshim, meaning the trumas and maisers, to the kohen and to the levy. But Ishit Kadoshim lo yiyu. What happens if he wants to keep it for himself? He doesn't want to go and share it. Oh, what's going to happen is Chas Hashem, his wife is going to become a Saita, and then he's going to have to go to the Kohen after all. The Hevi Ishis Ishti Ela Kohen. He's not going to go to the Kohen to give Truma, but he's going to have to come on to the Kohen because of his wife. Because of the Saita. Yes?
It's difficult to understand this because Saita depends on the character of the woman, not the character of the man.
Because she could also have, if it turned into a bracha for her, if she actually didn't do that in her father, and her husband was a kuflafa.
Anyway, the point is, very often, if the husband is dishonest, the wife is cut from the same cloth. Wouldn't say always, but it's frequently the case. And therefore, Hashem sees that this person is not going and giving his trumas and maisus, even if she is a tzedekah and she doesn't engage in this type of activity, but Hashem can still go and make this whole deception as if she is a soita, and then he will have to go to the kohen.
He can become paranoid.
Exactly. And as Uri said, it won't affect her negatively, because in fact, if she is totally innocent, the next minister Zora, she's going to have children, they're going to be beautiful children, etc., etc. Moreover, that what happens if he doesn't get the message? They send him to the Kohen, Mita, Soita, and he still doesn't want to give Trumas and Mises. Ultimately, he is going to be the one that's going to get the Trumas and Mises. In other words, his fortunes, unfortunately, are going to decline to the point that he's going to have to never solicit funds, and what he should have given for Tzedakah until now to the Kahanim, to Leviim, and to the Aniim, he's going to be the one that's going to be the recipient of that 2% and that 10%, because unfortunately, he didn't do what he was supposed to. And therefore, the shot in the pasuk is the ish is kadoshim, that he should have given his kodshim, the trumas and maisis, lo yiyu, eventually those are going to be his, what he is going to retain, and that's all that he's going to have. He's not going to have anything more. Rabbi Wein always used to tell the story. Rabbi Wein was a very successful lawyer, and then he decided in the midlife, one of these midlife things, and he decided he's going to become a rabbi. Anyway, so first he was a lawyer, and then after he became a rabbi for many years, and after he became a Rosh Hashiva, and then he became a Mechaber, and but he's a grace of Baal Kishon. So he said about himself that the first year that he became a rabbi, he earned less than the amount of tax that he was paying the previous year than when he was a lawyer. So if anybody thought that the reason why he became a rabbi was to better his financial fortunes, it was the other way around. He earned less. His entire salary was less than the amount of taxes that he paid the previous year. Anyway, the point over here is that a person who's not going to pay his taxes to the Kehanim and Levium, then unfortunately eventually he's going to only retain the taxes and not retain the 100%. He's going to retain the 2% or the 10%. That's all he's going to have. On Rachma Yitzchak, but it works the other way around too. Then Nosan, if he gave his trumas and maaser, Seif Masasha, then he's going to become an Oysher. Shnem Isha Sheita Lakoyin. Lo Yiyya. What's Lo Yiyya? Lo Yiyya Momen Habri Mechem Kachborch to give him a special bracha for being so benevolent and so beneficent in giving his trumas and maaser. Amrabuna Bar Brachim Ishom Rebelosa. Whoever is Mishatav, what's Haisi Mishatav Shem Shemayim B'tzaroi? So Rashi says over here that when he has Chas Hashem Atzar, Mevorech al Ro'o Daino Emes, like we had in our Mishnah, Kishem Shem Vorech al Toi, Vekach Vorech al Ro'o, so he is Mishatav Kodesh Baruch Hu B'tzaroi by saying Vorech Daino Emes, Inam Mishim Mavakish Rachman Melvonov, is Mavakish Rachman, meaning that Chas Hashem person has a Tzar, he knows to go to Hashem and to go mispound to Hashem. So that type of person, kufli parnasosi, is going to have double parnasa. Shneimah v'ho'yeh shakei b'tzarecha v'kesef tu'afas loch. If you take shaka in your tzaris, you are mishatav kodesh baruch in your tzaris, kesef tu'afas. What's the tu'afas? So Rashi says the tu'afas, we have a targum lashon of v'chafalta. That's referring to the urea. It's v'chafaltas urea, m'mul panav, v'chafaltas urea hashishis, and m'mul panei oyo. That v'chafalta state in targum lashon, it says the soif. Soif therefore means kefil, means double. You double something over. So it tells you that the kesef tu'afas lach, that your parnasa will become double. The word mufafis comes from the word oif, that it's going to fly high. Your parnas is going to really fly high. It's going to be off the radar screen, so high. Like a tzipa, she never gets mufafis lach from a lashon oif that flies high.
Maybe even though this is a tough and it's also the double lashon, and it's a b'shtat the tefillin, the tough and the test meaning.
Okay, good. Omar Tavi, Omar that means lashon rifyain. He doesn't learn Torah the way he's supposed to, but rather he's slacking off in the learning of Torah. On a day where he has, unfortunately, faces tzaras, he won't have the koyach, the strength to be able to withstand and to be able to deal with this challenge. Shemit says the pasuk hasarafisa. What's the exact one? Hisrapisa. What's the lushan lamid over here? Hisrapisa. If chasashom there's been a rifyoin in your learning, biyam tzara tzar koychacha. Then on a day of tzaras, your koyach, your strength is going to be tzar, is going to be very narrow. In other words, you're going to have less strength to deal with the problems at hand. When we're talking about a rifyoin yadayim, lav dafka, the slacking off in learning, even if he's slacking off in a particular mitzvah that he was previously meticulous and careful about, so if he slacks off, anything that you have a rifi in your dime, then you're going to lack the koyach to deal with the challenges in the future. Rav Safra said, Rav used to tell the following story. When Hanina Hananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, went to Golus, in other words to Bavel, he kept on going and be ma'abed the new year and be kaveh the new chodesh in chutz la'aretz, which, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, you're not allowed to do. Ki mitzian teitz tzoyra uvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Anything having to do with Ibrishonim has to be done in Yerushalayim, or at least in Yavne, or wherever the Sanhedrin is located in Eretz Yisrael. So when he was doing this, people in Eretz Yisrael found out, and they decided we have to be mocha. We have to protest his actions.
Admonish.
Shogra achav shnei tam yicham, they sent to yicham, Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, u ben benoy shol Zechariah ben Kavutl. Kim shiro oisem, as soon as he saw them, Hananya ben Achir Rabbi Shui, he saw them, he remembered them from the good old days in Eretz Yisrael. Omer lahem, lama basim, hey, why'd you come over here? When you came to visit me, what do you do? Omer lahem, we want to go and learn Torah by you. He was so impressed. Wow, he came from Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah with me. Hichus alein, so he immediately told his whole congregation, all his talmidim, anoshim alol, these people that just came out, gedoyli adorayim, they're great, they're gedoyli, they're mamish, they're great chacham. Probably saying, shimshim v'esa migdash. Not only that, but their parents and their grandparents, they were serving the v'esa migdash, chayish shanino, like we learned, chayib ben kabutol, ima harri pomim, karisi lefana, v'seif v'daniel. On the night before Yom Kippur, we don't want the Kohen Gadol to fall asleep. The Chaim ben Kavutl used to come into the Beis Mikdash and he would go and read for him Sefer Daniel that night to keep him going, to keep him alive, to keep him up. Anyway, we see from this Chaim ben Kavutl, who was the Zayda of this Ben Benoy Shul Chaim ben Kavutl, right? That one was the Enikol of Chaim ben Kavutl. See, his Zayda went to his Meshamish of Beis Mikdash, so we got to give them tremendous Derech Eretz. Okay, so you can imagine everybody gave them Derech Eretz. His Chul, whom Metam Evein Metar. Shortly thereafter, when a Shaila came up, he, in other words, this Rabbi Hananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, he was Metame, Vein Metame. These two new guys that came on the scene, they said, no, it's Torah. Who are you, sir? He would say, it's Torah. Vein Metame, they were Mater. As you can imagine, he was not happy with that. Hichra Zaleim, and now he changed his mind. He said, Hashem Alalu Shel Shavein, then Gunish Ved. They are worthless. Shel Toyuhem, like Toyu Vavoyu, worthless. So they said to him, you can't do that, Kfar Benisa. You built us up and you told everybody in big headlines that we're Gdoili Hadar and we served in our Zayda, served in the base of Midish. Yata Yuchal Listar, it's too late for you now to go and try to demolish us and destroy us. Kvar Gadarta, you already picked us up like a ghetto, like a wall. Yata Yuchal Ivrit, so you can't go and break through the wall now. Kaddish. So he said, okay, I hear you. But Omulahem, what are you doing to me? You know, I'm losing all of my prestige and all of my credibility. Everything that I say, you say it's wrong. Amulai, The reason why we're here is Nisha'atim Abishonim Kabiya Khadoshim Khutzlarit. You have no business, you have no authority to go and do Ibishonim Kabiz Khadoshim in Khutzlarit. Amulham, Rabbi Akiva bin Yosef, Ibishonim Kabiya Khadoshim Khutzlarit. Rabbi Akiva did it, if he could do it, I can do it. Amulay, they tell him, don't compare yourself to Rabbi Akiva. Hanach Rabbi Akiva, Shlainiach, Kamois Beretz Yisrael. He was the God of the door, there was nobody like him in Gan Teretz Yisrael, so. Somebody has to do the Ibn Khadoshim. So he did it.
There's nobody else. Not in Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael, he was the only one. He was Chutz La'aretz because there was nobody left in Eretz Yisrael to do it.
Exactly. Right? And there was nobody else in Africa or in Alaska or in Tanzania. There was nobody in the world that was able to go and do it like Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, he did it in Chutz La'aretz. Amalham, Sir Rabbi Hanani said, Afanilay Nathi Kamois in Eretz Yisrael. When I left Eretz Yisrael, there was also no Gedolim. I was the greatest. Amaloy, they told him, you're right. Historically, you, Taka, were the greatest. But a few years have passed, and Gedoyim Sheinachta Nasu Tiyoshim. Those little goatlach, those small little goats that you left the Chad Gadya, those have now become great, great powerhouses. They are Bali Kenayim. They are now themselves Gedoyim in Psak Halacha. Vehem Shegrun Etlacha. And they are the ones that sent us to you to tell you, until now what you did was okay. But now you can't do it anymore because now there are Gedoyim Kamoyschan Eretz Yisrael. And they are the ones that are going to be Ma'aber, the Kishonim and Kevei Chadashim. Vehem Omer Lanu, Lechu Ve'imru Loi Bishmeinu. Go and tell this Rav Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. If he listens, great. If he loves, even need, we're going to put him in chayr. And not only that, now they're going to say, Mario uses very dramatic terms. The imrul the achim ishim goyla, and tell all of his followers, those people that live around him in goyla, im shoyim him if they also listen, much of the good. The imlav, and if not, they might as well go and cut all of their ties to Yiddishkeit. Yal Lahar, they should go up to the mountain, Rashi says, because that's where the Oivdei Avodah Zarah would go and build their Bomeis Baal on the heights of the mountain. And they should go and take along Achia. Rashi says Achia was an Odom Godel, Roish L'bnei Agoyle. He was, at that time, I guess, the president of the whole community, or maybe the Godel of the whole community. He was the greatest. Let him go up there, and Yivna Mizbeach, he should build the altar to the Avodah Zarah. The Hananya, this Hananya that we're talking about here on the Amud Aleph, the Hananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, Yinagin Mekino, he should go and take out his harp, and he should go and start playing, Yechvais, all types of Christmas carols. The Yechichbru Kulam, and all of them should be Koyim Vabiyayimru, Eilem Chaylik Bilekei Yisrael. That's very, very dramatic. That's very, very emphatic. As you can well imagine, Miad Gol Kol Am B'Pchia. They said, "Wow, what did we do wrong? Is Ma'aber Chadashim and Ma'aber Shanim? Because of that, we've lost all our Chelik and Klal Yisrael and Rabbanu Shleim. We're Oydei Void Hazara. The Om Chas V'Shalom. Yesh Lo Chelik B'Kel Yisrael. We want to continue on, but of course we are fervent, loyal citizens dedicated. Of Klal Yisrael, dedicated, devoted, and with Er L'Chayin. Remember." Why all this drama? What's going on? And therefore, you have no business being ma'abed ashanim and mechadish chadoshim outside of Eretz Yisrael. Period. End of discussion. That's it.
I know where the Yishalmi got the strength from.
Yeah.
Yishalmi is tough.
Yeah, Yishalmi is very tough.
Do you think they could have maybe done it when they came? Is there anyone explain to you they had to do it in this dramatic fashion?
That's what we call a kasha for masa. I don't know. I have no answer for you.
He set him up.
But obviously,
how can they be
retired? If he would have been retired, and they'd be retired, no, he can always be machmir. El hu matam they retired. Heichi, how can you do something like that? But Tanya Chacham Shetimei, obviously he was a grace of Chacham, and Chaber Rishoy Latayr. Osar and Chaber Rishoy Lahatr. How could they go and be Matayr if he was Matayr? Kasabri ki Heichi loy Nigru Vasrei. They wanted to go make an emphatic statement. Do not follow Hananya. Hananya, until he agrees to stop this Ibra Chadoshim business, he's a no-no. He cannot follow him. Trafe. Zero, treif, kunish, etc. So they had to make a major statement, even if it means. So that's also part of this Eslat Hashem affair to Zecha. If they are Mitar to Mayim, it goes. Hashem wants us to do it the way that He doesn't want people to go and take and be Mabashonim outside Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
What what type of ordinance? It couldn't be nida. They wouldn't allow say that she was.
I said there's some tvua that they said that you can.
They were nog.
They passed on Gebrucks.
Tana Rabbana. Okay, this is a very, very famous story. Everybody talks about this when the beginning of.
Isn't it that if they have the reshus, then the Rishus is correct?
If they had the reshus?
You know, it's they're getting the
authority.
That was the ultimate authority that they should follow them, even though their psak was wrong. But we want to make a statement that Hananya is a big, big triple X until he agrees to stop this Ibn Chadoshim, Ibn Shanim
business. So the psak is correct or not?
And ultimately correct, because that's what Hashem wants you to do, but it's not it's Tomei. Hashem wants you to do that because we have to stop the actions of Rabbi Hananya in his tracks. When Rabbeinu came together in Kerem Yavna, Rashi explains, Kerem Yavna was not the name of a yeshiva, but rather Yavna was the name of a place, and Kerem means that the Talmidim was sitting shurois kikerem. Remember, in the good old days, they didn't have necessarily big bate medrash or bate knesios. Many times when they're giving shiurim was out in the open air, and therefore everybody just sat haphazardly wherever they found some place to sit. They just sat down on the ground, with or without a blanket. They just sat down and listened. Here in Kerem Yavna, it was very, very meticulous, very scrupulous, very yekish, that they had nice rows, one after the other, of people sitting and listening to the Divrei Torah. So now, when the Rebbeinu Seinu got together, Ho Yushom, who were the great Rabbi Sein, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Nechemi, Rabbi Lezer, Benoish, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Pasul, Kulam, Mekavar Achsani, when they would begin speaking, they would always go and speak about the greatness of the hosts, meaning of the people in Yavna, who were Mekarev, and they were Machdas Orchim, all of these Talmidei HaYeshiva, to their homes. Just like in the good old days back in Europe, before they had fancy dormitories and fancy lunchrooms, people would have take. They would eat to take by the various balbatim. Take means days. So a person came to a place in Europe, and there were many, many talmidim over there, and then they would try to assign them, you're going to eat by Yankel on Sunday, you're going to eat by Beryl on Monday, you're going to eat by Shmerel on Tuesday. So they had a take. Take means a day. This day was like tog. But tog is singular, and take means plural. So they try to give everybody various take. Unfortunately, sometimes there weren't enough take to go around. And some of the Bukhram, unfortunately, didn't have anything to eat. So it was not an easy situation. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so in Yavna, they were Makarev, all the Talmidim, and therefore they would speak glowingly the Kavod Achsani, the Darshan. Now, Pasach Rabbi Yehuda, Rosh Madab, B'chol Mokim. First Rabbi Yehuda spoke, he was the Rosh Madab. The reason why the Rosh Madab, the Gemara says, Masechtas Shabbos, because there was a period of time when other of the Chachmei Yisrael were critical of the government, and Rabbi Yehuda was defensive of the government. Since Rabbi Yehuda was defensive, he became now their superstar, and they said from now on, whenever there's a public gathering, Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to be the first speaker, because we consider him to be the great Gadol, because what a wonderful guy he is. So, he was Rosh Madab, B'chol Mokim. But there's a very famous vart that they say, B'shem Reb Pinchas Hirschsprung Zecharon Livracha. Perhaps this is also from other Gedolim. And that is, we find in the Haggadah Shul Pesach that we have this lengthy, lengthy list of the ten makas. The Dam, Tzvadeya, Kinim, Orev, Devet, Shchem. And comes Reb Yehuda and says, you know, to say words which are two letters, Dam, that's a really long word. And Orev, three letters. You know, we have to go and shorten as much as possible. Reb Yehuda Omer, and what the Gemara is telling us in a very nice and subtle way is try to appoint the first speaker, your MC, that he should speak with brevity and speak succinctly. That even when he has these 10 relatively short words, Dam is only two letters, and Arav is three letters, and Dever is three letters, etc. Shorten it even then. Take your speech of one page and shorten it down to three sentences. If you're going to have an MC like that, he will set the tone for all the other speakers, hopefully, that the guest speaker is not going to speak for 2 hours. He'll cut it down to 10 minutes. So that's why they appointed Rabbi Yehuda Roshim Dam B'chol Mokim, because he knew how to go and shorten with the substance of what he was saying to keep it to a minimum. That's a word that they say. Anyway, what did he start off? He started talking about the Kovid HaTeira. What did he darsh? V'darsh. Now before we continue on, this chayra seems to be a stira minei uvei. Here it says pasuk kulu b'kavod achsanya, and then it says Rabbi Yehuda the Rosh Hashanah, he starts over b'kavod ateira. So the chayra that's inconsistent in two lines. All of them pasuk kulu b'kavod achsanya, and he's talking b'kavod ateira. So the pashup shot is that he wanted to be mishabeach all of the hosts and tell the hosts, but I want you to know, you know who you're hosting. You're hosting grace and grace of Talmid HaChacholim. And so therefore the schar that you're going to get is so great. So this place with Kavod HaTorah was a way of showing shvach to the Kavod HaChsanya, to tell the host that what they're doing is something which is fabulous and fantastic. However, you will often go, or at least I have often been to parlor meetings or dinners or whatever, where the first person that speaks and quotes his Gemara says, and here's a Kavod HaTorah. And the answer is, Mr. Smith, who's hosting this parlor meeting, this is an Achsanya Shel Torah. This is a household full of Torah. So therefore, both are correct. In fact, I'm talking about the host, the Achsanya, and does a Torah, the Achsanya Shel Torah. And they'll speak again, and they'll repeat themselves 25 times, Achsanya Shel Torah, Torah Achsanya, Achsanya Shel Torah. And they don't learn their Pinchas Hishrim shot that you're supposed to keep it to a minimum. Anyway, but here's Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaTorah. What did he say? V'darsh. So the Moshe Yikach Chazoi, but not like Kutz L'machle. What is this all about? This is talking about right after the Masa Egel, where Kodesh Baruch Hu unfortunately said, Klal Yisrael, I'm no longer interested in any of you guys. I'll let you continue to exist, but I'm going to send Hinni Shuleich Malach Lafanecha. A Malach is going to go and take you from this point on. I'm going to go and into seclusion. Moshe Rabbeinu took that as a signal that he should do the same. Now what did Moshe Rabbeinu took? He took his tent, which previously was in the Machna Levi, which was around the Mishkan. And what did he do? He took it all the way outside to the outskirt of the Machna. And afterwards the Pasuk says, V'korlei oil moyed, anybody that wanted to have anything to do with Torah and Oroi and Moshe, they had to go Michutz L'machna. So what is he saying? I'm sorry, I skipped the Dorash. Moshe Kachsa, even not Michutz L'machna. What's the Kavachim? The whole Machna of Yisrael from one end to the other end was all of 12 mil all together. How do I know it's 12 mil altogether? So Rashi already quotes the pasuk that we've had already in the past, that in the base of Yishimois from one place to the other, Rashi in the right hand margin, Sholish Pasois, Machni, Soma Base Yishimois at Ovel Hashitim, was plus the Parsi, was three Pasois altogether. And therefore, if you remember, we had this not too long ago. Everybody remember we had this about three Pasois? This had to do with Oig Melech Avashin. You remember it all?
Yeah. What? He jumped up and hit his ankle.
He goes to Zak Emes, but what happens before the ankle? So it says back in Nun Dalan Amid Beis that Oig Melech Boshen said, "How big is the whole Machni? So Machni so Kamahava Tlos the Parsi. It's all three of Parsois. Eiz Liyaka Turibar Tlos the Parsi picked up this huge mountain. He wanted to throw it on them, and then Hashem Baruch Hu made his teeth should be long. Anyway, how do we know that that was three Parsois? So Rashi says because it says in the pasuk that Vayachanu Mebeis Hayishimois at Ovel Hashitim. This is Rashi in Nun Dalan Amid Beis. V'yom Rabbah B'chana the Didi Chosli. I was there. I was a tourist. I went from Beis Yishimas of Avarashitim, and I saw how Duchta have a Tlos of Parsi, Orcho Tlos of Parsi Busya. It was three Parsa by three Parsa square. Now, three Parsa is the equivalent of 12 mil. And that's why the Gemara is back here on Samach Gimel and Beis. Rashi is quoting that Pasuk Beis Yishimas of Avarashitim, the Tlos of Parsi, that it was 12 mil. And therefore, what happens if a person lived at the very end of the Machna? The farthest that he would have to walk would be all the way from where he was living.
Just under 12 mil.
Just under 12 mil, or 12 mil minus 0.1. So therefore he's saying that the ganze zach that he had to walk with 12 mil, which is not inconsiderable, but it's, you know, it's not going from here to Eretz Yisrael. All those that are here in Kerem B'Yavda, many of them probably were living in Yerushalayim, or in Bavel, or Galil, or Paras, wherever. So they had to go long distances to come here. Last time come, look, these are Mevakshi Hashem. And therefore, he was Pesach B'Kavod HaTorah on all of these Talmid Chacham. And at the same time, he was telling the host, what a schus that you have, that you have such Talmid Chacham in your midst. And the pasuk says, "V'di Barashel Moshe alpanim panim alpanim." I'm Rav Yitzchak, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Moshe. Moshe nivi ata nazir panim balocha. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is now saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Okay, fine. Slatikid Varecha, it's time for a reunion with Klai Yisrael. What's this Loshen Panim al Panim? Aniva Ata, both of us together, we should go and be Mazbe Panim. In other words, we should go and explain the Halacha, meaning the Torah, to Klai Yisrael. Ikriyami Kachon Gedborch Lemoshe, Kishem Shani is Bait the Chol Panim, just like I was Mazbe Panim to you. In other words, just like I haven't cut off my relationship with you because of Klai Yisrael. Kach Ata Hazbe Panim Yisrael, Vahachser Ho Oyelim Kaimai. Let's have a reunion, a reinstatement of our friendship with Klai Yisrael. You return the oil to its Mokim, and the Shechin is going to return to Klai Yisrael, etc. V'shovel Machne. So now this is a continuation of the next pasuk in Ois Gimel. V'shovel Machne. What means V'shovel Machne? Go and return the oil to the Machne, and if not, the pasuk continues on. How does this Yeshua ben Nun come into this pasuk over here? So if you more pshat is azay, umravavo, umlekadosh baruch hu Moshe, achshav yomer rav bekas, the Talmud bekas, Yisrael masay aleihem, kadosh baruch hu said, until now I was bekas because of the masa egel, and obviously you're bekas because you're sharing my disdain and your disappointment with Klal Yisrael by taking the oil mechutz l'machne. Then Yisrael matayelim, so what's going to be with Klal Yisrael? If I'm going to be a kass, you're going to be mekass. If you're going to go and put the oil back, mutav is good. If not, you know what? Yeshua ben Nun, Talmid Chacham Mishor, is tachtecha. He's going to take over and be the new leader of Klal Yisrael. So it's either or. Either you go and put the oil back, and you're mekar of Klal Yisrael again. And if not, we're going to be mesalik you as the leader. We're going to have Yeshua ben Nun take over. That's what said Yeshua Machna. Moshe Beinu Taka listened, and he brought his oil moid back to the Machna. In other words, he put his oil back in the Machna Levir where he lived previously. Baruch used that expression. Yeshua ben Nunar b'yomish. So when Hashem says Nivul Batolish, Nemo Mishor say Yeshua ben Nunar b'yomish take oil, meaning that even though at that time Yeshua didn't take over, but he was destined to take over later on after Moshe Rabbeinu's passing when they went into Eretz Yisrael. So this was Rabbi Yehuda. The Oy Basa Rabbi Yehuda b'kavod atayra. Rabbi Yehuda is continuing to talk weiter. The darshan he darshan. Mine here. Okay. Okay. Oh, Shkoyah, thank you. What is Darshan? What means Haskes? Oh, no, not Haskes. What means Hayom is in the Yesh La'am? Now this Hayom is in the Yesh La'am is talked about at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar. They're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, listen, Klai Yisrael, Hayom is there today in the Yesh La'am. We're talking about the end of the 40 years, many, many years after the Matan Torah. It's coming to tell you that anybody who learns Torah mit a chavivis, mit a liebshaft, with a love, every single day when he starts learning Torah, thank you for giving us the Torah. Every day he thanks Hashem. It's like he got it from Hasina. I am so happy I have the Torah. That's Rashi brings it. Every single day, a person when he gets up in the morning, he should not go to shul by rote and have to go and then join. It's 6:45. You have to be in time. You need to go. You go. Well, I want to go and establish, reestablish my kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Taida, bring your rashi. Odom kodesh krishma shachar v'arvis. What happens if you have a person who erlich davens every single day and he says krishma in the morning, he says krishma in the evening, the erev echa any kodesh. One time he misses marav, one time he misses the minyan, or one time he forgets to say krishma or whatever. Doima k'mish loikara krishma mi'olim. You look at that person, he's white-faced, he turns green, he turns blue. Oi, what did I do? I didn't say Krishna, I forgot. And, you know, it can happen that a person who davens every single day, he has a mincha minyan near his office, lamushal, and every single day he goes 1:30, 2 o'clock. And one day he had a business meeting at that time. And it's okay. There's another meeting later on at 4, there's another meeting at 4:30, I'll make it. And then it slips his mind, because he's so used to going and davening every day at 1:30. And he forgets the 4:30. I'm sure, hopefully none of you have ever experienced that, but you can appreciate it. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is telling us. When that person misses the minyan, he feels, oy vey vey, what did I do wrong? He davens every single day, 365 days a year, mitam minyan, and he never missed. One time in 25 years, he misses it. He feels devastated. That's what you learn from this pasuk. That's how chovav it is to a person, his avodas Hashem. Haskes v'shma Yisrael. What's meant haskes? Asu kitois, kitois, be'iske v'toyim. Rashi says that the word has of haskes, you read it as if it's with an ayin tof, which means ace, that you have, this is the time to go and do it. Actually, ayin, sin. The hey is mischalif, aleph, hey, ches, and ayin are mischalif. And samach and sin sound the same. So take the word has case and divide it into two words. Has, from Lushan asiyah, asay, ayin, sin. And then kas means kitos. Asu, kitos, kitos, vask, betoyah. Go and make many chaburais, many groups, and learn in Torah. The fish in Torah. Nikness ele bechabura. Don't learn by yourself. Always learn together with chavrusis and learn with others. The word soinim tamid chum is a euphemism. Means cherev chashom on tamid chum. When you have a person that learns Torah by himself, sinish good. After a while, the person becomes a tivish because he doesn't have the ability to have a masu matna, give and take, a pilpul chaverim. So he thinks he's going to remain a gadol forever. He's not if he's going to learn all by himself because he won't have a chance to go and bounce off ideas and kashas and terutzim with others. So that becomes a tipshus. How do I know that it's metapshus? The word ne'alnu in that connection means that a person has become, he's dumbing himself. So here too, he's going to become dumb. He's going to become a tipish if he doesn't learn with us. It's a chet. You should learn with us. So here too, it's a chet. Ne'alnu, I learned from that. That is also a chet to learn by yourself. Learn with a chavrusa. He by saying the have another pasuk niyala. Sorry, soyan. And what's the right from there? Because the pasuk continues on after that that they went astray. Niyala. Sorry, soyan. Sorry, zayin. Hissu es mitzrayim. Hissu es mitzrayim means that they went astray off the derech, so to speak. So here too, if a person is niyalu, if he doesn't learn together with others, it's not only that he's mitapshim, but choytim, he goes astray. He goes off the derech. Tovarach haskus yishma yisrael. Kisisu atzmechem al divrei Torah. The word haskes is kisisu. Kisisu means to go and squash yourself, to crush yourself al divrei Torah. In other words, be most nefesh for learning. Kid omri shlokshim reshlokish manashin divrei Torah miskaimen al misha meimis atzmei. Well, how do we know that the kiyum Torah is only a person who's meimis atzmei, that he really pushes himself to the brink, chas v'shalom, to the point of chulila, of death? Shem says, but this Torah, adam kiyomas ba'oil. Of course, that is talking about the case of Tumas oil, because of the mess, never the passed away the oil, and this is the beginning of Parshas Chukas, you have to take the Paraduma, the Mechatas, you have to spritz it on him, spritz it on the oil, etc. However, the Gemara uses it as a drush, that a person who is learning he should learn Ad Kiyomas until, with all of his keiches, until his keiches give out. Tavaracha has is Shema Yisrael, has v'yachakach ksas. What means has v'yachak ksas, kid rova, the yom rova, the oil of the Torah v'yachakach yehek. Has means to learn. To listen, like we have by Yahas Kolev. The Kolev listened to what everybody says. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Start again. By Yahas Kolev means the Kolev made everybody vishtika. By Yahas, Rashi says in Chumash, shh, that everybody should be quiet. So, what did Rashi say? That everybody thought he's going to go and say some really wonderful things about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he did this bad thing and that bad thing. And afterwards he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, he could call on Usayyam, and he took us out of Mitzrayim, and all the wonderful things, and then they wanted to go and stone him, the Kolev in Yeshua. Anyways, the word has means to be quiet. Kas means to go and be kasis. Like, no, go and crush yourself and push yourself and motivate yourself and put in all of your efforts. So that what's coming to tell you is, this is the limit of daf yoimi. First, go and learn as much Torah yediyas as possible. Has, be quiet and listen to all the shiurim and learn and learn and learn. After you've learned a tremendous yediyas, the Akka Keheger Rashi says iyun, then you can be ma'ayin and then start going and learning tif. That's the famous machloikis, whether the Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, whether you should be more the Sinai or the Oikaharim. So Rabba is telling us, be first the Sinai, first learn up as much as possible, and then you'll be Oikaharim once you've learned Ganshas. Oh, I've learned so much, now start going B'iyun, maybe Pshat Tazeh. But first you have to have the background and the basics. I'm the Rav Yani, might as well say the Pasik. Ki mitz cholav yoitzi chama, umitz af yoitzi dam, umitz apayim yoitzi riv. What does this all mean? For me, at the moitzi chemishal teira, where are you going to find someone who has the chema? Chema is the butter, but here means like the cream of the crop of the Heilige Teira. For me, shemeki cholav shiyonak mishtei imoy oleha. Only a person who is willing to go and meki means to regurgitate, as if to vomit, to spit up the cholav, the milk, shiyonak that he sucked, that he nourished mishtei imoy from his mother. meaning that if a person really wants to go and have the Chemish al Torah, he wants to become a grace of Talmud Chacham, he has to go to the point of pushing himself to the wall until as if he is throwing up everything that he has in his body. In other words, he has to really be Moisa Nefesh till the point of Chas HaShalom Adam Ki Yomus Vayim. If a person asked Narish Akashis and his Rebbe screams at him in the Shir and he doesn't respond, he listens to him quietly, he will eventually learn so much, he'll have his skula that he's going to be a grace of Talmud Chacham to be able to pask in Shailus which Dam is Tohar and which Dam is Tameh, Tabi Dam Nida, for instance. So what is this all about? So Af is referring to the Af, the Charoin Af, that this Rebbe is bekas at him. If you listen to that kas and you don't respond, Yoytzi Dam, eventually you're going to be Moitzi Piske Halacha, involving Dam Tummy and Dam Tor. Umitzapayim Yoytzi Rib. What does that mean? Kol Talmud Shekoysel of Rabbi Pam Rishoyna. Ushnia! The Rebbe has already screamed him 2 times! Mishoysi Kenny's quiet. Then he goes up one further Madrega. Not only will he be able to pass again Hilchoys Issur the Gabi Dam Vidam, you'll be able to pass in Choshe Mishpat Shalos. The Nar Reb Shmuel Oimer wrote to Yischakim. Person really wants to be very, very smart, very wise. Yasev Vidamin Hamanis Shein Chol Mitzvah Tari Yosem and Shein Kemay Neveh. So that's the point over here, is that if he doesn't challenge his Rebbe after his Rebbe screams at him that he said something wrong, that he asked this silly question, he'll eventually become a great Chacham and he'll be able to pass in Dina Mamanis and Dina Fashis. Kemay Neveh means like an ever flowing stream and spring.
It seems that the monetary psakim are harder than in Tumala Tahare on the
Shem. Absolutely. That's why in Klal Yisrael today, like it's always been, you have many, many, many poskim that know Arachayim and know Eben Ezer and know Yeredeya, Choshe Mishpat, you have very, very few real strong poskim. Very few know Choshe Mishpat.
We have fewer experts in shades of Tumala Tahare than.
Today, nobody knows Tumah V'Tahara because it's not Sinegia today. But at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they checked from Don V'Ad Be'er Sheva, they didn't have a Timek V'Tanoikis that wasn't Bucky in all Hilchot Tumah V'Tahara A to Z. Unfortunately, today there's no Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah Hashem, by next week, Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully there will be a Beis HaMikdash and everybody will know Tumah V'Tahara perfectly. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, Omer Shulman Nachmani might have said the pasuk Im Nevalta Bisnase Vim Zamois Yod Lepeh. How does the Gemara dash in this pasuk? Kom Menavel Atzmei Al Debrei Torah Soifel Hisnase. Menavel Atzmei, says Rashi, means that he made himself the laughing stock in his classroom, like a nevela, and everybody mocked him, and everybody denigrated him. All his friends said, afraid of the Chanarish guy, every day is dead. Guess what happens? This fellow who is willing to go and suffer the abuse of his colleagues, Soifel is now saying, eventually he is going to become a grace of Talmud Chacham. Because although he asked stupid questions, but he got good answers. All these answers are going to register. He's going to be a grace of Talmud Chacham. The Mzomam, if a person was afraid to ask any questions, and he put the Zomam like a muzzle over his mouth and never said anything, never asked anything, Yad Lepeh, years to come, and 25 years from now, when they're going to ask him a Shaila, he's going to put the same hand over his mouth, because he won't know what to answer. So therefore, never be afraid to go and ask Narish Shailas, even if you get it over the head from both the Rebbe and from the fellow Talmidim.
So is that where we have advice from the Lomid?
Yeah, it's the same concept. Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem over here, because Baruch Hashem, everybody, kul mahuvim, kul brum, kul gibarim, kul kedoshim. But there are shiurim here in Alaska, not to put down Alaska, but that people ask sometimes silly questions. If you look at Rashi, HaMenabel Atzmo, you see in the left-hand margin, Shishoy L'Rabbi Kol Tzvei Koy, so he asks his Rebbe all of his things which are in doubt. Afu B'Shiyesh Behem, there are among those questions, Shechaveir of Maligin Olam, that they all go, if you're going to close up your mouth, then in other words, you're going to put that to go and pull a behemoth, it's like a muzzle that you put around the mouth. At the end of Rashi, if you're not going to ask the Narish questions now, guess what? 25 years from now, when you're going to be the Ruv, they're going to ask you a question, you won't know what to answer. So ask the questions now and don't be ashamed, don't be afraid, even if people mock and denigrate you. Pasach, yes?
So aren't these the same questions that the Rebbe is yelling at him and he has to be shut that?
Yes, that's really, that's why the Gemara brought this memra to go and attach it to the previous memra. I had a Rebbe. I remember there was one time a kid in class saying, "Nuruch, I felt so bad for him." He asked one time, he often asked questions which were not, you know, up to par. So one time he asked a question, and the Rebbe was very, very unimpressed. By the way, I'm not suggesting this is the way a Rebbe should treat a Talmud. I'm just telling you a story that happened. Anyway, this Rebbe was from the Haim, and therefore he didn't suffer fooled lightly. So he asked a foolish question. So he said to the Bucher, "You know, this question that you just asked, the kasha, does the kasha from the Rosh?" Oh, the Rosh really asked my question. Oh, he really felt so good. Abanish the Rosh into the Nigmur. The Danarish Rosh. Not the Rosh that you have in the back of the Gemara. It's your nonsensical question. Your head that constantly is full of Shusim and Nanda. Your Narish Rosh asked the question. I felt never so bad for him. Never here. He felt so great. He collapsed on this one. Again, I'm not recommending that, but.
I Rebbe told me, yeah. Rebbe told our class, this is Chash Barosho.
Yom Torah. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you learn Torah, you find you don't have a Rosh.
Ah, very good. So it may have been the same Rebbe. Okay, so now we had Rebbe. You remember, we had these four giants that had been Pesach, we covered the Torah. Now we're talking about Rebbe Nechemia, Pesach Rebbe Nechemia, we covered Chassaniyah, the Dorot Chmaris, the Yom Shol Elakeni, the Chus Surah Nadu, the Torah Chavaleki, the Pesivcha, Imoy Beata, Sisa Chesed, in Kol Bnei Yisrael. What is all of this about? Shol is about to fight a war against Amalek, and he calls Keni. Keni means the grandchildren of Yisrael. And he says to all Yisrael's grandchildren, the Chusuru, Shnal, get out of Mitorcha Amaleki. Why? Penei Sivcha Imay Chas Hashem, you shouldn't be collected together with them, meaning you shouldn't have the same fate that all the Amalekis are going to have. Shnal, get out from Amalek so that you'll be safe. The reason why I'm calling you and telling you is Vatasisa Chesed Mekombin Yisrael. You made a tremendous chesed with Klai Yisrael. Now, what is the chesed that Yisrael made with Klai Yisrael? So, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, but Rashi already brings it here, four lines from the bottom of the Rashi in the left hand margin of Sisa Chesed, Sheechilam, that Yisrael made this big party, this big solution, of Yovi Aharon, Mechozik Yisrael, Lechel Lechem, Im Choysein, Moshe Lefnei Yodakim. So, we are giving Yisrael the title and the credit that he is the host for this big Suda. So, having a Suda be Machdis Archim, that's a tremendous chesed. The reason why he did it for Moshe was not because he just wanted to be a good guy. This was, to a certain extent, he had a negiah, because he's a son-in-law, and he wanted to make his son-in-law great and powerful and accepted by the masses, etc. Someone who today is ma'arach, takes as orchim a talmid chacham into his house, and machilo, mashkei, give him to drink, give him to eat. My name nechosav, alachas kam v'kama, how great he's going to be. So you people in Yavna, that you've been mekar of all of these talmidim v'kerev in Yavna, oh, what schar you're going to get. Pasach Rabbi Yoyzi v'kav rachsan yivadarsh. L'isai v'adoy mikachichahu, l'isai v'itri kiger ha'yisa bi'artzai. Now, we shouldn't go and have an abomination. We shouldn't feel repulsive about a Mitzri because you were a ger in their land. Now remember, the Mitzriim weren't nice guys. They tortured us. So you can tell me, what about the early years before they got to the torture, when Yosef was around? So what happens? The reason why they allowed Yaakov Avinu and the Shiftei Kot to come into Eretz Yisrael and to live in Eretz Goshen, Pari said to them, you know, maybe you have good warriors, you have good generals, they're going to help out, they're going to go into the army, blah, blah. So he had his own negias at heart, his own prejudices. How am I suggest, like, over there, the reason why we have to be nice to the Mitzriim and allow them to join as Gerim in Klal Yisrael is because they were nice to us. They were nice to us because they were such wonderful guys. They did it because of their own nikias, because of their own interests. So certainly a person does the Shema, he goes and brings the Talmid Chacham into his house, Kadosh Baruch will certainly give him great, great credit and great tzchak. Oh, that's the fourth of these four giants that spoke the Kavod Achsani in Kerem Yavna, the Dorish. Ovid Edoim held on to the Oroin for a period of time before ultimately it was installed in the Beis Hamikdash, and during that period of time he was careful to take care of it, and because of that we'll see in the Gemara shortly he had a tremendous schus that he had 62 children and Eneklach. Not an insignificant number. Frank, not Frank. Talk to him. Dvarim Kavachaim. Amad Chorin. Shloi Ochel V'Shotze Elikim V'Vrim Bizlofanav. What did Oyvet Edom do for the Aron? He didn't give food to it. He didn't give drink to it. Because an Aron is an inanimate object. The only thing he did is keep it Vrim Bizlofanav. Every day, they made sure to go and sweep in front of it and keep it nice and keep it clean.
So Rabatz means to
keep it vrivit.
Keep it is to sweep. To sweep.
But keep it also mechabited by these two go together. Keep it to clean it and with
the shmata,
damp cloth and a soft cloth. I got some answer. I'm sorry.
A sponge.
Yeah, exactly. Did what I have to do to make it nice and clean and be cooked. He's going to have a tremendous bracha. Now the question is, what bracha did Oyvid Edom have? It says, "Vayivorach Hashem as Oyvid Edom." What was his bracha? Mayi bracha shebechay. Chomis is the name of Oyvid Edom's wife. Mrs. Oyvid Edom was Miss Chomis. V'ches Kaliseh, and his eight or her eight Kaliseh, her eight daughters-in-law. If they had eight daughters-in-law, how many sons do you think they had? If they had eight daughters-in-law, probably all eight. They had eight sons and eight daughters-in-law.
Well, one son could have many wives.
Oh, we're going to see in a moment. So Chomois, which is Mrs. Oyvet Edom, and the eight daughters-in-law. How much is that together? Eight plus one is roughly
nine.
Each one of them yoldu shisha b'keres echad. How much is nine times six?
54.
They had 54 all together. 54. She gave birth to six. And they gave birth to six. Now this is in addition to the existing eight sons, because to have eight daughters-in-law, you have to have eight sons. Says the Gemara, Shnemar Pu'alti Hashmini. Pu'alti doesn't mean that I was poil, but that was the name of his eighth son. If you look here on the Torah Ora Sholim, Amiel was the sixth son, Yisachar was the seventh son, and Pu'ultzai Hashmini, he was the eighth son. Why? Ki Berech HaLekim, because Baruch gave a bracha, they had eight children. Now, continuing on the Gemara at the top line, Kol Eilam Nei Oyvet Edom, all of these were children of Edom, all these eight. Heimu V'neim V'acheim, all of them together, Ish Chayil, B'koyich L'Avoyde, each one of them was strong, how much altogether? So let's figure it out. If there were 54, and there were eight sons, how much is 54 plus 8?
62.
Call them together. Shisha Mishnaim Li Oyvet Edom. So that was the bracha that Edom, Oyvet Edom had for being kibid veribates, for going and being mechabed the oren by cleaning it nicely and doing a sponge and doing whatever he had to go and sweep up. He was zeicher to 62 offspring, eight sons initially, then another six sons from the wife from Mrs. Oyvet Edom for Chomos, and then the original eight sons, the eight daughters-in-law, each had six themselves. So you have 48. Plus the 8 is 56, plus another 6, altogether 62. That was the bracha that he had. And the Mietzvah, the next shtickle, we Messiah tomorrow, and wherever you're learning your shiur. Have a good Shabbos one.